Good morning, St. John's.
Good morning.
It is so good to be back here. St. John's was home to me for 4 years, where I served as youth minister along with other duties as assigned, of course. And I think that St. John's will always feel like home. It's where I discerned a call to ordained ministry. It's where I fell in love with ministry. It's where I slept on the floor more often than I would have preferred, but I was told that youth lock-ins weren't optional. It's where my family will gather for prayer before I get married this October in Denver. And God willing, thank you. God willing, okay. And God willing and the people consenting, it's where I will be ordained next year.
Also.
This is why y'all have supported me so much. I love and miss you. And it was so hard to say goodbye in August of 2022 when I left for seminary. I'll be honest and say that the first year of seminary especially was very challenging, and I think in large part because I was just ready to do ministry, and you all helped me fall in love with that. But I have been really grateful for seminary, especially because I can ask questions that I've been wondering for a long time, like, what does John 3:16 even mean? We heard it in our gospel today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. I'm sure you've heard this verse before. It's the first verse that I memorized at Presbyterian school growing up. I wrote a theology paper last year about John 3:16, in which the prompt was to explain this verse to a curious teenager. John 3:16 is on billboards. It's even made its way onto cups at In-N-Out Burger. And it's on signs at every single sports game. And I've wondered, what exactly made this verse so popular? And I asked two of my seminary professors why, and they looked at me and said, we would love to know too, so whatever you find out, let us know. So I went to Google. And I read about a man named Roland Stewart. He was not a pastor. He was not a theologian. But rather, he was an avid sports fan. And in the 70s, he attended professional football, baseball, and basketball games, wearing a rainbow wig, waving around a John 3:16 sign. And because the games were televised, John 3:16 got more attention. And this sudden attention even led to pastors and theologians claiming that John 3:16 is the central message of Christianity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Taking a verse outside of its context is always dangerous. We should not read John 3:16 alone. And there's a really interesting and important story around it. So at the beginning of John chapter 3, which Amanda didn't read for us today, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, comes to Jesus in the night, asking him, "Who are you? You seem like you've been someone that's sent from God." And so where our gospel picks up today that Amanda did read, Jesus is answering Nicodemus's questions. And Jesus speaks really mysteriously and obscurely. I think we know at this point that Jesus is not always straightforward. But verse 14, the first verse that was read, this verse would have been very clear to Nicodemus. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As a Jewish leader, Nicodemus would have heard the story about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. He would have heard, "Once there was a man named Moses who, with God's help, brought the Israelites out of their enslavement in Egypt. As the Israelites traveled to the land that God promised them, they had to go through the wilderness. And in the wilderness, they disobeyed God because they were hungry and thirsty. Understandable, right? But because they disobeyed, God sent serpents to bite them. And to survive the venomous snake bite, God told them to look at the serpent on Moses' staff. And if they looked, they would be healed. The serpent was the very thing that killed and the very thing that saved. And Jesus reminded Nicodemus of that story. And he reminded him of that story because Jesus will be lifted up on the cross, and like the serpent, the cross will be the thing that kills and the thing that saves. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loved the world, so he gave his son to be killed in order to save. I recognize that God sacrificing God's own son, God's self, is hard to grapple with. It's a brutal story. And I've grappled with Jesus' crucifixion for years. And I've asked myself, what about Jesus' death brings us salvation? And why did it have to be a death that was so violent? And I came face to face with this question in my youth ministry here at St. John's. Just count on youth to ask you really difficult and unanswerable questions sometimes. Back in 2019, Ben Keyes, a longtime member of this parish, called me during his first year of college. After quickly catching up, he said, "I called because I have a theological question. I've been having conversations with a friend about Jesus' claim that he's the Son of God and that he will save the world through his death on the cross. What is it exactly about Jesus' death that saves us?" And I immediately shrunk in my seat thinking, I don't know. I want to know this question too. I said something along the lines of, "Well, Jesus' teachings are what saves us. His example of loving your neighbor as ourselves what saves us. Plus, I think it's more about the resurrection." Ben paused and said, "That is such an Episcopal answer, Christina." You could always count on Ben to be honest with me. And he had a point. Because there is no resurrection without the crucifixion. It's tempting to want to avoid the pain of the cross. It's tempting to want to reduce the love that God has for humankind as warm and fuzzy and approachable. But the kind of love on the cross includes pain. There is love and there is pain. They coexist with one another. As my professor, Willie James Shinning, said to my theology class last year, this is the paradox of the cross. There is pain in witnessing Jesus' crucifixion. There is pain in seeing that humanity ordered state-sanctioned violence. And on the cross, we see human propensity for violence. But there is love in Jesus showing us on the cross that we need to be delivered from that very nature. There is love in God taking the cross, a symbol that is so violent, and using it to redeem and heal us. And that's the good news. Like the serpent in the wilderness, the cross is a sign of healing. But in order to be healed, we cannot look away. Because when we look at the cross, we are inspired to heal our broken world. When we look at the cross, we see that suffering is not necessary, but that it is so real. We see that suffering is not necessary, but it is so real in our broken world. And when we look at the cross, like with the bronze serpent, we are healed. On the cross, we see that God is inviting us to be renewed. and we are renewed in the resurrection. But first, we have to look at the cross and then the resurrection. Amen.